Well, this is the 245th year. I'm trying to count numbers in my head. 245th year of our nation, 5 years away from 250 years, the youngest nation on the face of the earth. And I want to say thank God for every man and woman, young men, young ladies that have paid the price for this nation. From the beginning of the Great War of Independence that gave us this land, God gave us a free country to live in. Men and women, what we would call boys and girls, paid the price over these hundreds of years through the great civil war that tried to divide our nation and destroy it. Yet God kept us together. God made us one nation under God, and He's kept us one nation under God. And we've not been divided. Thank the Lord, we're still one nation under God. Through both world wars, through Korea and Vietnam, Gulf conflicts, all these many wars that our young nation has walked through, I thank God for the men and women that have paid the price down through the years. Some that have given themselves, they've suffered, they've sacrificed, they served, they surrendered. Some paid the merciless price in prison camps. Some paid the price of their lives and gave all so that our nation might be free. When my boys were young and we'd be in a restaurant and we'd see a serviceman or a service lady, I would always tell them, you go shake their hand and thank them. They're the reason that you get to play outside every day in freedom. And I thank God for the men and women that have paid the price and served and been faithful through the years. And as I was thinking about preparing for this message and thinking about the years that men and women, boys and girls have paid the price, I tried to go searching on the internet and tried to find a good illustration to kind of go with this message. In John 8:36, Jesus speaking here, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let me say, we're free tonight because the Son made us free. We're a free nation tonight because God shown his great love and favor on America. And he gave us this land to prosper in, to labor in. We're free tonight because men and women, boys and girls, paid the great price. And when I think about the price that's been paid, I have to say thank you big time to the men and ladies that have served, because I've never served in the armed forces. And I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I've never had a desire to serve. For those that served our country, thank you. I love you. God bless you. I was never interested in some man getting in my face and hollering and yelling at me and telling me how many push-ups to do and how many miles to run. I was never interested in that. I had no problem with obeying my dad. I had problems with getting whoopings, so I had no problems with obeying my dad. And I thank God for the whoopings dad gave me because they shaped my life. But I didn't much like them, so I didn't have a problem with just surrendering to what he said most of the time. I had enough sense to know if I was going to do something stupid, Brother Joel, I'd go out of the county. When I had my license, I'd get out of the county and go to Stone Mountain or DeKalb or something with my friends to do something stupid, never around the house. But I've never served. But I know many men have paid the price. Many young ladies have paid the price for our freedom. And I got involved in a story of one particular young man, the son of a Navy officer, a Navy admiral who commanded the war in the Pacific. His name was John Sidney. John was born August 9th, 1936. He enlisted in the Navy, in the service of the Navy in 1958. On October 26, 1967, John was on his 23rd mission flying over Hanoi, North Korea. He was about 4,500 feet in the air. He was taking a dive to drop some ammunition on North Korea, and a big Russian missile, they said about the size of a telephone pole, took off the right wing of John's Navy fighter plane. John's fighter plane went into a downward spiral. John ejected from the plane, and in the ejection, he went unconscious and landed in what they called the Western Lake in Hanoi, North Korea. Story said that John was pulled out of the lake by Vietnamese soldiers. When they got him to the side of the lake, John recounted, when they got him to the side of the lake, they had most of my clothes off. I felt a twinge in my right knee. I sat up and looked at it, and my right foot was resting next to my left knee. I don't know why, but one of the soldiers slammed a rifle butt down on my shoulder and smashed it pretty badly. Another stuck a bayonet in my foot. The mob was getting really uptight. John had broken his right arm in three places, his left arm and his right leg. And they took John to the prison camp in Hanoi, North Korea, which some of you that served know as the Hanoi Hilton. Now, young people, y'all wouldn't understand that. It wasn't a Hilton hotel. It's a prison camp in North Korea where John spent 5.5 years tortured, beaten, tied with ropes, beaten from post to pillar. John said in his account of the records that he would do his best to make communication with other prisoners in the camp. They would tap on the walls just to communicate. If a soldier walked by the little cell that they were in, they would hold up a thumb trying to encourage each other. They would whisper through the walls to one another, just anything to keep themselves motivated to stay alive. John was tortured for 5.5 years, given very little to eat, given very little to survive. He recounts in his story that at one point, almost 2.5 years into his imprisonment, that they forced him to speak to a reporter and to tell the reporter that he was being treated fairly and he was being treated nicely. Early on in his days, John reported that he would have to sign papers. He was forced to sign a paper that he was treated fairly just to get the knee surgery, the leg surgery on his right leg. Yet he never surrendered to what he faced. So for 5.5 years, John faced the torture and the torment of the North Korean prison with very little to survive on, beaten and bruised. He even recounts that at one point, he was at the place of committing suicide. And so under great distress, they forced him to sign one more paper stating that he was sorry for his war crimes. He was told he would never leave. He was told he'd never see his family again. And finally, after 5.5 years being imprisoned, tortured, beaten, and let me say paying the price for your freedom and mine, 5.5 years. Most of us can't go a day and a half without food. Yet 5.5 years, Brother Shane, of torture and abuse. At the point of wanting to commit suicide, 5.5 years, John was finally released on March 14th, 1973. And upon returning to America, John determined that he was going to recover, that he was going to serve his country till his dying days. And so he did. John was elected to Congress in 1982. Then in 1986, he was elected to the Senate, where he served his country until he passed on August 25th, 2018. Joe, you got that picture? You know him as Senator John McCain of Arizona. Brother Don, that's the men that paid the price. That's the men that gave their life so that my children could play outside, so that your children could play outside, so you could drive to the store every day, so you could have freedom in this country to come and worship God in the house of God, in a place of worship. That's what our forefathers gave their lives for. That's what men and women, boys and girls, young boys and girls, as I would call them, give their life for. Day after day for the freedom of this country. Let me say one more time, we're free tonight. We are free tonight because somebody paid the price. But we're free tonight because the Son made us free. God shed his great grace on America, gave us a land where we could worship God. Oh, I want to say thank God, Brother John. I grew up in a land where I could worship God, where I could hear the truth. All around the world tonight, there are men and women, boys and girls that have never heard the glorious truth of the love of Jesus, and yet you're sitting in the house of God tonight. Young people, listen to me. Young people, you're sitting in the house of God tonight because somebody paid the price for this country. Somebody paid the price so that we could worship God in freedom, in liberty, in truth, and in spirit. We've been free because of Christ. We've been made free because God shed His marvelous grace on us. I got to thinking about John's story. I got to thinking about John Sidney McCain's story, Brother Shane. And I got to thinking a few thoughts about his life that pretty much related to mine. Oh, my life was just like him because, number one, I had once been taken into custody. You say when? When I was birthed, I was taken into custody. What kind of custody are you talking about? I'm talking about sin's custody. I was born in it. You were born in it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men for that all had sinned. I was a captive to the sin race. I was captive to selfishness. I was captive to my stubborn ways. I was far from God. Most of us weren't even looking for God, but God came our way. I was like John Sidney McCain. I was taken captive, not by my choice. Say, it's not fair for God to make man stand before Him when man didn't even have a choice in the matter of being a sinner. No, but we would all made the same choice. We'd all made the same choice. So you were captive, and I was captive, captive to sin, captive to selfishness, captive to my stubborn way. I was captive, and I was tortured. I was tortured by alluring sins. You say, Brother Tom, I'm not deeply gross in sin. I was raised in church all my life, and my dad was a pastor, and I don't think I was too deeply engrossed in sin. But let's just go ahead and be honest. Every one of us has a past. Say, Brother Tom, I've never drunk alcohol in my life. I haven't either. Thank God for that. Brother Tom, I've never smoked in my life. I haven't either. I thank God for that. Does that make me better than anybody else? Oh, no. Brother Tom, I've never shot drugs up my arms. I've never taken pills. I'm not a drug addict. Thank God I never have either, but I was tortured by alluring sin. Your problem may not be drugs, alcohol. Your problem might be lying. Your issue might be pride. I'll go ahead and say I had that problem. Brother Shane, I honestly, when God came by and broke my heart and broke my life in 1997, I was full of it. Pride. That alluring. That torture. The torture of the mind. Torture of the conscience. Boy, I wasn't just chained by alluring sin. I had been condemned by an accusing Satan. One that came constantly bombarding my mind and telling me, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of God's love. You've played a game in the house of God. You've played games with Jesus. You've grown up in the preacher's home and you've played games and you made people think this about you. And I want to tell you, that's great condemnation to have the devil bombarding your mind and telling you you're unworthy. But I want to say tonight, you're worthy in Jesus Christ. You've been made worthy through the blood of the Lamb. And there I was, just like John McCain. I had been taken captive. I'd been tortured by my selfishness, by my self-righteousness, by alluring sin, and accused by Satan. There I was, tortured in my mind. You were tortured in your heart and in your spirit. And then to think about it, I was tortured. I was captive. Then I was tried and found guilty. Now I look at John McCain's life and I think he wasn't guilty at all. Standing for America. And yet they forced him. They forced him, Brother Daniel, to sign papers that he was guilty of war crimes. Boy, them soldiers paid the price, never guilty of one thing. But I'll go ahead and say I was. Brother Don, I was guilty with nothing to say. They were coming to take me away. Then a voice from heaven was heard, and it said, "Let him go. Take me instead. I was tried and found guilty. I was short of the mark, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Told a young lady here Monday morning, right here in the foyer of our church. Got to lead her to the Lord, and I got to tell her, "Young lady, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And it'd be one thing if man had to measure up to me, or had to measure up to Brother Joe, had to measure up to Brother Shane, Brother Joseph, our staff. It'd be one thing if man had to measure up to us, but that's not the measuring point. I was tried and found guilty, for I was far short of the mark." What's the mark? The mark is the holiness of God. The mark is the great deity of God Almighty, who's altogether holy. He always has been. He always will be. And we can't measure up. There's no way. You could try to describe it. I've tried to describe it in messages before with the young people. I like baseball. By the way, the Braves won today. What a miracle. Came back and won. I love baseball. But Brother Shane, if I could take that autographed baseball in your office, and I'd probably get shot for that. If I could take that autographed baseball in your office by Sid Bream, if I'm not mistaken, if I could take that baseball, stand out on the interstate, on I-20, downtown Atlanta, face west and do my God-level best, Brother Shane, to throw that baseball from downtown Atlanta, Georgia, in the middle of I-20, all the way to the Alabama state line. Lord, I could have picked a better state than that. All the way to the Alabama state line, Brother John, if I could throw it as hard as I could, you would say, "You far missed the mark." And that doesn't even touch the hem of how far we missed the holiness of God. I was tried and found guilty. I was short of the mark, and I was sure to die, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, I had been taken captive. Yes, I had been tortured. I was tried and found guilty, but thanks be to God, I got transported by love. I got transported to the family of God. You say, how'd you get transported? Number one, I heard a gracious message of the gift of love of God, that God gave His only begotten Son, that God gave Himself, sent Himself in His Son, to come and die for my sin debt that I could never pay. Oh yes, I should have been crucified, Brother Don. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on a cross in disgrace. But Jesus took my place, because it would have never made a difference, Brother Clarence, if I had died. Would have never made a difference if I had died on an old rugged cross on a hill far away. Thanks be to God, Jesus came and paid my sin debt. And I heard the glorious message of grace. I heeded to the gracious message. Then I humbled to a gift of love and grace. Oh, thanks be to God. Through my humbled heart, I got transported, taken home to the family of God. Transported by love. And that's where we all stood. Those of us in here tonight that's been saved by the grace of God, you were taken captive. You were tortured in your mind. You were tortured in your spirit. You were tried and found guilty. But aren't you glad tonight you've been transported by love, through the marvelous grace of God? And now we're headed for a glorious country, headed for a glorious land, because He whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. And thanks be to God, I've been made free tonight by the marvelous grace of God. And I'm headed for a land where there's no more night, where there's no more sorrow, nor there's no more sickness, no more suffering, no more pain, no more separation. And thanks be to God, because of a great price. A man who gave it all on a hill called Calvary. Jesus, my Lord, suffered for me. Carried that cross all the way, my sins to atone. I've been made free, and I am free indeed. Been transported by love. Father, thank you for tonight.